Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.
Hello there. This is Culture Train, reaching you from Spirit of Nigeria Radio, where we bring the diaspora up to speed. My name is Jayamana Anikulapo, and I'm reaching you from Culture Town. Culture Town is Lagos, and Lagos is the center of the world when it comes to cultural expression, cultural production. And you know what? Right here in Lagos, I'm reaching you from a very unique place, which is actually the heart of cultural expression and production, actually. In Lagos, I'm reaching you from Terra Culture in Lagos, in VI, where so many things are happening. We're happy to have Terra Culture. And I think Terra Culture is beginning to now inspire some other projects of its nature, having a place where what you can call the one-stop centers for art and cultural expression. So I'm here at Terra Culture because today, the Lagos International Poetry Festival is in the third day. And today is one of the part of the program. And it will end tomorrow. But today, because of the nature of the event they have today, I have to bring the presentation here. I couldn't go to the studio, but I thought I would take it from here. But we just had the first part of the program. The second part is about to start at about 6 o'clock. So, and that is what it's going to be happening here this evening. So, I will like to say that we want to continue what we did last week, where we were just, where we were unpacking what is going on in Culture City. And while doing that, let me welcome the one I call the Culture Train Gang, gang in a positive way, Professor Kole Adeodutola and Professor Eyitayo Alo. One is in the US, one is in Canada. Thank you very much for joining. As we always say on Culture Train, the program is usually not directly here. But one of my guests is calling. Let me just quickly pick that. 1 second, please. Hello, Anote? I'm the library upstairs. Library. Yes. Sorry, one of my guests just called. That's the Mr. Anote. He's the one who is going to help me to unpack this evening. Of course, with the support of Professor Adebutola and Professor Eyitayo Alo, and those who are going to join us here. Because what we started last week was to really look at what is happening in the culture season. And we're happy that so many things are happening. So we kept on saying, oh, so many things are happening. But we couldn't exhaust it because we had a very big guest in the studio last week in the name of Jerile Achiko. People were rooting for him, so we had to stop every other thing that we're doing just to be able to listen to Jerile Achiko. I have another super guest today, Ayodele Ganiu. And you talk of an artist as an activist. An activist, not that he's using his art to do activism, but defending freedom of expression and defending freedom of speech and linking it back to politics and, you know, the kind of thing that we did in the past. So he's going to join us. That's Mr. Ayodele Ganiu. He's going to join us with the new project I just started. As we say, on Culture Trade, we only concentrate on those who are doing things that are impacting. Look, a poet can write his poem, a playwright can write his play, a dancer can dance his dance, a musician can sing his, do his music, but we do not need to really focus so much on those who are on Culture Trade. We rather focus on people who are doing projects that will have impact. So we talk to people who are promoting reading culture. Jerile Achiko, who is doing community service through his art. We talk to people who are doing using art for environment. You know, those are the kind of people that we bring here on Culture Train on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, where we bring the diaspora up to speed. Chairman Anipula Akwe again. I just told you, I said we're at Terra Culture. Because at Terra Culture, the Lagos International Poetry Festival, we've been going around town actually, even virtually, landed in Terra Culture today with a two-pack program. One is the screening of a documentary film on a renowned poet, Odia Ofemu. And this afternoon, the poem was, the film was screened. I wanted to say the poem was screened. The film on the poet was screened this afternoon. Odia Ofemu, A Literary Life, produced by Sage Asson. Very soon, we're going to see a clip from that film, just the trailer, because I couldn't get the full film. And then this evening, they have what they call the poetry concert. Poetry concert, which is like a party. You're going to have music, there's food, a drink. So when I leave this place, I'm going to go and join them and enjoy on your behalf. So I'm also going to get Efe Paul Azino, who is the founder, director of Lagos International Poetry Festival. He's going to join me. He's preparing for the 7 o'clock event, just as we're talking here. So he'll come upstairs and he'll jump. I'm sitting in the library, beautiful library of, I wish I could move the camera around, the beautiful library of Terra Culture. So if you're in the diaspora and you come to Lagos, Terra Culture is one of the places that you need to visit. In fact, easy, if you really want to encounter culture, it's Terra Culture. Because as we're here doing the poetry festival, there's also a play happening in the lawn. Open, it's raining, it's drizzling a bit, but there are people seated in the rain, in the drizzling rain, watching a play. The play is Omugwo, produced and directed by Kazimeri Ndukwe. You know, things are happening. Things are happening in Nigeria. There are killings, bombing, bandits, whatever they're doing at the political space. I think culture is responding. If I think I'm saying that, let me ask Professor Kole Adeodutola, would you say that culture is responding appropriately to the spate of bombing and, you know, the whole crisis going on in this country? Is culture really responding appropriately? I can see you quickly wearing your cap.
Yes, yes. In fact, I put my perfume too, you know.
I can't smell it yet.
Oh, yeah. The technology has been developed. But yeah. You see, Jama, there's something interesting about societies in conflict.
Okay.
Nothing ever stops. And Nigeria has been in perpetual conflict. And I tell people, do you remember the time when a musician sang, Iluleo, Kosowo Lode, Obirin Kigbe, Okunrin Kigbe, Kaluku, Lon Kigbe, Owo?
Yeah.
That song was not yesterday, but it fits in with yesterday. Mm. There's a woman I once photographed. Her name is Theodora Ifudu. And okay. Every time we went around town, Theodora would always say, Kole, all these ugly works of art you see might fit the moment, but when it's all gone, it will be such a terrible public art. And the question you asked is the art responding to the moment? The art responds to the muse. It responds to inspiration. What would happen is that all of these things that we're doing in our, all of the things that are happening, the bandits, the bombs, the bribing, the ensign, and all of it, would, is always a part of our life. Mm. And our prayer is that our lives should be better than this. Because when we were in Lagos in those days, you know that it was possible to be at Goethe Institute, and from Goethe Institute, we go to Sheraton Hotel because something is happening. From that same Saturday, we could end up at Radio Lagos to go and do something. I hear that those things are not, they're impossible. They're still happening, but they're happening with people thinking, what would happen to me after all of this? So in terms of the arts, I know that the only thing artists know how to do is to respond to the times. Sometimes, and most times, is also to give succor. That yet, times are terrible, but with imagination, let us look forward. And people will tell me many times, I call it, my imagination will go chop. But without the imagination, our lives will be horrible.
Yeah.
Will be horrible, nasty, and short. But what these songs do, they are milestones that help us go through the time. I would not want to take from Mr. Anote's time, because he's the one who has all the notes on art.
On art. He's not hearing you. He said you are the one who has all the notes on art. Okay. I mean, no, Professor Itayo Alo, you were also a street rat, like Professor Kole Adeodutola. You were a journalist, reporter, you were everywhere together in those days. You went to so many places. And so, you know, the question I put to Prof, which I would like Anote to respond, is that, is the art responding appropriately to all the crises? Because this is a nation of a million of crises. Even when there's no crisis, they poke hand in the face of crisis. Look at the statement made by the Attorney General, which is likely to set the whole nation into conflagration. How can you be linking these people to terrorism when they are not terrorists? And people are angry. Everybody is angry now. Even the little gain they've made, everybody is angry now. Do you think that culture is responding appropriately, or do you think culture can respond appropriately to the crisis, the nation in crisis?
There has never been a time when culture will not respond. Without sounding or repeating everything that Professor Dutola has said, if you remember that even during Babangida's era, when everything seemed to have been silenced, when everybody seemed to have gone corrupt, it was those either in the print medium or artists who were actually producing works that was holding power to their responsibilities. And let me tell you, one of the most repressive era in Nigeria, Abacha, was the era that produced Wole Soyinka's most notable play in terms of plays that act against government, the beatification of an area boy. Now, who else would have called a ruling despot an area boy, except coding it in a play which he wouldn't read anyway? And so that for me is an example of the art always being there when there has been a gap in the civil society. Not because the civil society is not responding, before I say things that are taken out of context, but simply because the civil society had been repressed. And so it comes to the arts and culture to bridge that gap of a pushback, a revolution to any form of oppression. And that is what we're seeing today again. The fact that all this stupidity, which is me trying not to go overboard on air, going on, they are just going on. And you expect those who should be wise enough, because your leaders should be demonstrating some elements of wisdom. Those who you expect wisdom from, they are the ones who are demonstrating the highest level of stupidity. And so it now comes to the art, either in its organized form as the literary poetry festival that you're having now, or in the form of street art, the graffiti under the bridge that actually calls a spade a spade without mincing words, putting names, or the poster or known poster that holds accountable those who are in power. Those things sting them, trust me. They don't like seeing themselves in those lights, and so they respond the way. So either those unorganized ones or the organized ones like the one you are showing will always hold power accountable. So in a nutshell, the answer to your question is yes. The arts are responding, and the arts will continue to respond. Because when the arts stop responding, the truth is the society dies. Mm. If arts does not disturb, it becomes sterile. Okay. And so art will continue to respond either in the ways we have analyzed or in ways that are beyond our imagination, because that's another potent power that the art possesses, the ability to create, to dream dreams, to bring to life things that the imagination has not yet conjectured. So okay. We have not seen anything yet. More are still coming, I tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, let me provoke the two of you further before I bring in Anote. Art is responding in terms of production and expressions. But in terms of capturing the imagination, I've not really seen much literature. For instance, much of theater, much of visual art, much of poetry that's really appropriating what is going on. I can tell you, look at the Chibok Girl, which has become emblematic of the problem that we have. How many books have been written by Nigerians, or even about Boko Haram? But at Cape Festival, featuring about three books, and those books have been written by foreigners. Two of them journalists who were here, who were reporting from Lagos, and then they had to come into the frame. They wrote a fact book. Some other people have written. So I can say that in terms of production, that the art, maybe musicians and co are responding, but are we really capturing what is going on? Are we documenting? Are we, you know, because it's an epoch. We hope that this epoch will go away, the violence will go away, I think. But are we really capturing the essence of what the way we captured what happened in the 60s, the showing card that you referenced? You know, most of their works were cultural nationalism. The way the artists of the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, you know how poetry was responding in those days that you have to be hiding. You know how even organizations like Cora came by, how active Anna was under the Bolisho and the Audio of Femme and the rest of them. That's the second strand of the answer that you have given. Let me start with Professor Adios Chola.
My brother.
Yes.
There's a scholar I wish you can engage. His name is Adewale Ajadi. Okay. And when Adewale Ajadi makes data confront reality, the narrative changes. When data confronts reality, the narrative changes. You said that the foreigners, the ease by which it would take an American, especially a Caucasian, to get grants to publish anything about Africa is just like you walking into Mama Put and ask for Pomo roundabout, and you will be freely, you will get them for free.
Yes,
almost.
Yes.
That is the same way with them. But yes. I'm telling you, I have not seen the crystal ball, but I'm sure Nigerians are writing. But the hoops and the loops to get published in the days of Wole Soyinka, when the publishers were begging for scripts, they knew that there were few people who could articulate themselves at that time.
They will sign you for like 5 years and say, don't release 10 books in 5 years.
Yes, now, number one, Heinemann and all those who have a big box have left town. The new boys on the block would ask you for ₦1 million to publish their works. It is no more that writers get paid in advance, but the writers would have to finance the proof editing, the photocopy, and so on and so forth. And when you talk to these guys, when they even sell, you don't even get a part of the royalty. German, don't let's get into publishing yet. You know, okay. I think that will be another story for another day. Okay. Our people are creating. The thing is that Shola Adenekon will tell you that we have shifted. We have shifted our site of publication from print to digital.
Okay.
You remember that when the scholars were arguing with their students in the classroom, and one rich man whose brother owned Rutham House invited them, he brought them and those conversations onto the pages of the newspaper.
Yes.
When he left, the scholars left, and they're back to where they are. They have now gone into little forums here and there, and they release things. What we lack now is somebody to harvest all of this and do what Femi Akintunde Johnson will be doing tomorrow. We'll be launching 4 books. Double O will be launching 1 book. Jaman Anukulakpo, I know, because I had a dream yesterday. He has 5 books in the making. The only thing is that he has not had the time. But I'm warning you, all listeners, the very day Jaman has the time, he will release 5 books. He already has them. And some of them are already in piles. The collection of that writing that he has collected. They're in bills like this. I'm not telling a story. I have seen them with my Kuro eyes like this. But that he has not published them, I need to go to the Babalawo to find out. But I know the books are there. So what I'm saying, seriously joking, is that all of these things you're saying, they're there, but the wherewithal to publish them, to edit them, to prove them, is what we don't have. And, you know, when you do not have a Babangbejo, I'm sorry, I don't know the translation of that thing. Don't ask me. When you don't have a Babangbejo, it always looks as if you are lazy. Nigerians are not lazy. We're doing things we just don't have. I mean, there's just one Ibedi residency. In Florida here, I'm sure in Canada, the residencies are 2 for a penny that writers can go. They would take care of the givings, food, electricity, internet connection, and they just ask you to write yourself. We don't have such things. What we have, if you want to know, German said, where are the productions? I have seen productions at the Free Readers Association stand. The best place I've seen in my life are at the Free Readers Association in Ojuelegba.
Hmm.
It is complete with the director. It's complete with the lighting person. Even they can simulate rain itself. There. It all happens. And with passion, they will discuss what is happening. But if we can capture those, German. I'm not trying to discount what you're saying. I'm being serious with what I'm saying, that these things are happening. We just do not have the capability. You know, Achebe says, we do not give, is it malaria to a man that has elephantiasis of his scrotum? This is our problem. We have such big problems that some of the ones that are also important, we can't solve them. But I am sure we'll keep rolling along. Thanks.
Okay. So let me welcome Deborah Nelson to Culture Train on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. You're free. It's a free house. You're free to contribute. Spirit of Nigeria Radio is an internet radio, so the bulk of our listeners are out there in the cloud. But we do the Zoom so that we can have some recording of what is going on. So you're welcome to Culture Train. I've been listening to Professor Adeoji Tola. We've been talking about whether culture is responding appropriately to the crisis that we have in our nation. Because usually when nations have crisis, the cultural sector rises up to the occasion. But we're not sure that we're doing that. And we're broadcasting from Terra Culture this evening, away from the studio where we normally do it. So you're welcome, Deborah. Thank you. I've seen your message. Professor Eita Yoralo.
While Professor Odutola has covered all that needs to be said about the literary part and the visual arts, so I'm just going to go with film. One of the major crises that Nigeria has faced of recent has been the kidnap of the Chibok girls. And a quick Google search on YouTube will show that there is a documentary on HBO titled Stolen Daughters Kidnapped by Boko Haram, 2018. Yeah. There is another documentary entitled Sambisa. Okay? So it all comes down to how do we get this to the mainstream? Now, the wherewithal may not be there, but it is important that these tiny ripples continue to happen, because soon all these tiny ripples will come together to make that big impact that you are talking about, Benjamin. I know what you're talking about. It is not out there yet. We are not really seeing that big punch from the arts world. But these tiny ripples are required. And I can tell you that outside the documentary, there are so many Nollywood, small Nollywood productions, not the big so-called cinema movies or Netflix originals. There are some small ones that are also existing that I'm looking at now. My daughter has been kidnapped. You know, all sorts of titles that are on YouTube that are also telling that story of oppression and, in a way, sensitizing the people, because already this one has already gotten 15,000 views. Now, those are 15,000 minds that have gone away with a message that will sleep with them, that they will wake up with, and that at one point or the other will grow roots, germinate, and then move them to action. They may not know yet, but again, that is the power of the arts, to go into the recesses of our mind and then produce action when we least expect. So, yes, nothing big yet, but again, as Foucault says, talking about biopower, is the fact that all these small power hierarchy have been established so that when they come together, they will create that impact that we are waiting. And I tell you, if things do not change, that impact may come quicker than we are expected.
Okay. Thank you very much. Maybe I was expecting a rush of, because the frenetic pace at which the media reports all this event, it's happening almost every day. I'm consulting for a newspaper, and every day, it's the same kind of story that you have to write. And I'm thinking, okay, what is happening in the state itself? Maybe that's why I was unfair to them, as Prof has suggested. Thank you very much, Professor Itayano. Let me welcome Tony Okuyeme, my colleague, and Oriofe Ogutola, fantastic writer, poet, the one who doesn't give a damn. So I welcome you all, Deborah, and you're free to contribute to this before we go to the heart of the program itself. We're talking about whether culture is responding to the crisis with E that we have in the nation. So you are free to also contribute. And okay, let me bring this question to you. You can see that we're so poor that we're sharing the same because we're in a noisy place, so the two of us have to use airport. So many things happen at Terra Culture this evening. So, and we didn't expect that. So sound is everywhere. So we have to use
African art and culture is communal, so there is nothing wrong with what you are doing.
Thank you very much. Anote. You have to study my own.
So, it's culture, because you are here to help out with the review of the season. There are so many things happening. The festivals we have like 10 of them. Are they really responding to the crisis that we have in the nation? That they are really addressing? Because as Oshodare said on Arise TV, it doesn't have the luxury of writing about butterfly or writing about palm tree in a nation where people are being kidnapped every day, where people's children are sleeping in the forest. You don't even know what is happening to the girls. Because those bandits, those terrorists, you don't know what they could be doing to the girls and the boys. So it's so scary, even though politicians keep on having weddings where they are sharing iPhones and cook. But people's children are being affected. So are we really responding to the problem to the problem in the nation? I know the two professors have answered it, but you are a reporter. You go around a lot.
Exactly. So quite frankly, Nigerian creatives are doing, you know, the most they can.
Sorry, I hope you can hear Anote. Maybe you have to. I hope you can hear him. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear him. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yes.
So Nigerian creatives are doing the most they can to get this period of our dark history into their creative works. Just like Professor Odutolad mentioned earlier, the facilities to push these things out there are just lacking.
Okay.
You know, yesterday at the Lagos International Poetry Festival, there was a segment about, you know, the politics that happened in the country, which is rare for a poetry festival to begin to talk about, politics.
Politics.
You know. And in my annotate at home, I mentioned the other time that there are actually two segments in it. I think what will probably happen tomorrow, okay, where they are discussing the politics. So beyond poetry, and all, there is now the politics of poetry, or the poetry of politics, whichever way you want to, put it.
Okay.
You know, so even the poets, that's to show that poetry is not alienated from what is happening.
Mm.
And we even had a poet in the house. I mean, he was part of the Lagos International Poetry Festival, who is actually a political poet. I mean, that's how I refer to him, Mr. D.K.
Chukwumerije. He just walked into the library just now. He was just
saying, you know, Chukwumerije is one poet whose poetry is actually politics.
Mm.
Politics of how Nigeria can be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yes.
So these things are happening. And there's a lady, well, actually the daughter of Motila Mohammed, has written a book, a non-fiction, okay, on these Chibok girls, which she titles The Daughters of Chibok.
Oh, okay.
Which Narrative Landscape published.
Okay.
Well, I think they are yet to present it, so that's why maybe the buzz it's about not it is not, it's not that much.
Okay.
You know. And other people are writing. I have a short story, well, a novella of sort, which I've given to a publisher since, I think, January or early February in Ibadan. And the man is just for dragging.
Doesn't want to touch politics.
Well,
poor man.
So I showed him what was published outside by these two guys. It's two Americans. That was
okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
the book on Chibok.
On Chibok.
Yes.
So these are the things we are too timid when it comes to things like that. And well, you may not even blame them because the government can come hard on you and you know,
take
out your business. Yes. Yeah. So people are a bit. The writers are writing, and you'll be amazed if there were to be a poll about who has written about Chibok or what is going on in the Northeast.
Yeah.
You'd be shocked the amount of work that people have in their drawers, their cupboards, but they can't bring it out because, like you mentioned, you have to pay a publisher to publish for you. And I call them, you know, printers.
Publishers. They sell the printer. Even when you pay the book, they don't sell it.
Exactly.
So you have to carry the book on your backpack.
That's where we are stuck at, which is not very good for our, history at the moment, for our society. And then the other question again is, who are those who will even read these things in an environment where people are struggling to even feed, where there's hunger is stalking the land, where millions are escaping into the poverty trap by the seconds? I mean, we know the statistics. Nobody needs to begin to read that one out to us anymore. But truth is, Nigerians are battling with a pandemic that's even worse than the coronavirus. The hunger pandemic.
The hunger pandemic.
It's
a pandemic of empty pockets.
So that is just the limitation that we have, you know. So, but we keep pushing, as it were. We can't relent. Those who are writing, we encourage you to still keep on writing.
Mm.
And we encourage the publishers, you know, to dig their hands into what they get from schools just resumed now, and we know the millions they are making by selling textbooks to schools. They should just set aside a fraction of that to publish some of this fiction work that are needed. Yes, because these are the history that we'll look back on in years to come to say, at this period of our life, this was what went on. This was how the creatives, Nigerian creatives, responded to a moment in their lives when they need to save their lives.
Yeah, because you have to capture this moment. Otherwise, you know, it's gone.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Anote. Let me ask Deborah Nelson, Tony Okuyeme, or yourself, if you have any contribution. Again, it is the response of the culture, and the art, to the the crisis in the nation. If you have any contribution, just let me know. We'll just call you right away. You can make the contribution. Hello, Deborah, Tony, Oriofe. Otherwise, we'll go into the reviews.
I have contribution.
Okay, go ahead. But show your camera or show your face.
I cannot show my face. Oh.
All right, go ahead. That's part of it. Anyway,
okay. So this is it. I have issues with something. Looking at the way I write in a very blunt way. And for a while, I've been having issues publishing my stuff because many people think, oh, this is too wild. Oh, this is this, this is that. As soon as I write something, everybody is tackling me and all that. And I'm wondering, Jesus, must I write the way you people write? Must I write about politics? I don't want to write about coronavirus. I just want to be writing about sex and, you know, all of those things. And people try to talk me down always. Do I have to travel out of Nigeria before I become a published writer?
Okay. Mm. Fortunately, we have professors who have gone through the crucible themselves. And we have Anote, we have Tony here, we have Deborah here. So anybody can pick that question. But just to alert us, at 7 o'clock, I want you to repeat this question when Ayo Dele Ganiu, when he joins us.
Yes.
But as I said at the beginning, Ayo dedicated his life to artistic freedom of expression, or freedom of artistic expression. That's what he does. He resigned from the bank just to take up that role. And he's been going all over the world doing that. He just came back from the US. And he's going to do a program on October 30 and Donny Labaf in November. So you repeat the same question. But I want anybody who can advise you now to say that. Professor Alon?
Thank you very much, my dear sister, for that question. The answer to that is no. You do not have to. There are still publishers who are taking on risks like that, even though I have to admit they are not many. And this is where the problem stems from. It is our, how do I say this without being offensive, our over-embrace of a foreign culture in the form of Christianity, Islam, and all other religious cultures at the expense of ours. And within these cultures, we think that nudity and sex are so bad that no, they must not even be mentioned. Although right there in the Bible are clean, clear references to sex and sexual practices, especially when God was giving the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel. Now, within, I am a Yoruba man, so I can only speak for my culture and say, if you look at the Ife bronze and the Ife heads with their depiction of the female body, complete with the sex, complete with the breast and all the sexual parts, that shows fertility. So you now wonder that exactly what culture says we cannot publish these things as long as we have a reason for them and it's not just for pornographic purposes. Well, again, I would leave that to others who may want to argue. But this is where the hypocrisy lies. With all the churches and mosques that Nigeria has, Tiwa Savage sex tape can have over, 50 billion downloads in the space of one day. The same set of people who will tell you you can't publish what you are publishing. That is the sad hypocrisy of the society that we are living in. So all I can advise you is, my dear sister, there are people who will publish you. There are publishers out there who will take on that risk and will put it out. And you'll be surprised that all you need to do is be tenacious, do not give up, be yourself. Yes, it may take some time, but somebody will notice what you're writing and will put it out there. That's all I can say. But to your question, the direct answer to your question is no, you don't have to go out of Nigeria to be published. There are publishers because there are, believe it or not, millions of readers who want that kind of thing that you are publishing.
Thank you very much. Professor Adio Ditola.
Thank you. Oriofe
is our young sister who is writing. I know her writing, so I know what she's talking about.
I stand to differ a little. You see, I think it's this woman Barbara, the woman who was at Ife, the white woman who was at Ife, Dean Yoruba, Barbara.
Oh, Karen Barber.
Karen Barber. It was Karen Barber who was trying to define audience. And one of the things Karen Barber said was that it is so difficult for Nigerians, especially Yoruba people, to be locked up in the proscenium theater and asked to pay money for what they see almost every time. And because of that, if Sister Deborah is writing what we all see, look, sex is one for a penny in Nigeria. Everybody does, and they do it everywhere. Even the churches and the pastors, everybody. So your writing must be so unique. The sexual direction of your writing must be so unique. The language must be so fresh and refreshing to a point that it will be eye-turning. It will be head-turning. And people will want to read it. But if it is writing about sex, we've had enough of it in our lives. And that is why some publishers would look at it and say, can you do better than what Ikebe Super did? Writing and publishing can be economic. You don't have to get out, even if you get out of the country, there will be a politics, there will be a reason why a publisher outside of this country will want to take your work. It's either they want to prove a point. You know that most the Western world think that all African men are studs. They just like to bim, bim, bam, bam. That's what, if your work fits into that stereotype, my sister, you get published by somebody outside. But somebody inside is looking at your work through many layers. He's looking at it through the economic layer. He's looking at it through the economic layer. He's looking at it through the cultural, sociocultural layers. So once it doesn't fit with that, and then the language and the style. Dr. Itai was saying that, yes, you can write whatever you like. In fact, Idi Amin will tell you that there is freedom of speech. What nobody can guarantee you is is your freedom after the speech. You can publish whatever you like. You can write whatever you like. I will write what I like. But the essence and the question is, to what purpose is your art? Why are you writing what you're writing? If you're convinced that this is what our society needs at this time, I tell you there will be a publisher for you. But if just perchance, because we're talking of a nation of 200 million, and of that 200 million, I'm told there are 88 million below 15 years. These are data and their statistics that are very essential for the arts. Nobody is trying to repress you. Nobody is trying to stop you from publishing or writing what you want to write. What they are saying is that in terms of priority, it is not yet your turn. But should you write it in a way, and Brother Jaman said he's read some of the things you said. So he has a first-hand experience. I don't. I am just speculating. And I'm speculating not from a cultural studies perspective like Dr. Itayo. I am speculating from a media scholarship. My own field is to look at text, relate it to the context, and find out what the subtext to the text you are writing. We look at the politics of writing. We look at the economics of it. So as long as you have to go into that field, because when you write it and you give it to the publisher is not going to sell it to his own family. Why don't you create a blog and create a wide readership that will long for your work? That is one step to go. It doesn't cost anything. Go on the social media and create an audience that will have a taste for your work. Listen to what they're saying about what you're writing. Serialize it. Don't give them all the story. Let them want it. And then with that, you can count the number of clicks. My brother has counted the number of downloads. Tiwa. You know, that Tiwa has.
What is from his bro? What is Tiwa?
It was.
I don't believe that was an error.
It was a split of tongue. A slip of tongue. I didn't mean Tiwa Hala. I mean Tiwa. Yes. He's counted the number of downloads Tiwa has. They say it. Nothing sells like sex in its visuality. People want to see and learn from what Tiwa is doing and the way she did it. But when it comes to textual, it has to be... I was telling somebody, if you've read No Longer At Ease, Chinua Achebe said, the man opened his teeth and it looked like a missing plot in a slum. My sister, I have read that thing. I have been jumping up and down at that metaphor. He said that somebody opened his mouth and there was a gap that looked like a gap, a plot, a missing plot in a slum. So, literature is not just about daily, just write it. It has a lot. But I give it to you, without wasting your time, create a followership. Before you, there is a man called Naiwo Sahon.
Oh, yes.
He had written, what was the title of that? Lagos, nigger,
Sex is a nigger game.
Sex is a nigger game. Before him was the man that went to Eton College, Duben. They didn't sell a lot. I don't think their novels sold a lot. And at that time, it was easy. Obobo Books. Now he was someone, because he wasn't getting people, he created Obobo Books and was publishing himself. So, if we are historical, which books about sex have really sold, and which publishers? Let's be candid with ourselves. But with but the way she you're correct. Ngozi started off by selling herself as the female version of Chinua Achebe. Remember that CA. Chinua Achebe, Chimamanda Adichie. That was how she started to sell herself. Her stories have houseboy. And she lived in the house of Chinua Achebe, in the house Chinua Achebe. It was a bad move. And they told her, and she came back. Well, she at least, the West listens to her. The West listens to her. So maybe she's your model. Maybe you should just go and talk to her and see how did she do it. But my advice for you today, I have said it three times, I'm counting, is that create an audience for yourself and use the statistics of your downloads, your comments to present to the publishers. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
One thing I can tell you that he has a very active job too. But I'm going to find a way to link or refer to Prof to Prof because you've given quite a lot of nuggets there. And Professor, she's taking notes. Yeah. I know Oriofe very well. She doesn't miss anything. And then, you know, the question I talked about Ayodele Ganu. As I've mentioned, Ayodele Ganu is somebody who has spent his life really talking about freedom of artistic expression. You know, all those artists that they want to kill in the north, that they play fatwa on their head and they want to hang them. But one of them was almost being hanged until I came up with that idea. We are going to debrief him. So that question, I'll find a way to throw it back to you without repeating exactly what we have said. Because you are talking about sex. He's talking more about religious, what religion, what they want to do, cultural embargoes that people place on the expression of culture. And of course, the way Professor Adeosola has explained it, just that your freedom You have the freedom to write, to say what you want to say. But what happened after the freedom of speech? Nobody can guarantee. But this is a thing. And then Oliver is going into the residency. So I'm looking forward to that. This is one of those.
Okay.
Very soon. So this is still Culture Train, and we're on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. Don't mind the number of the small people that are in the room. This is what Zoom does to you. We use Zoom just to make sure that we have a recording of what we're saying. The bulk of the listeners are out there in the cloud, and they're listening to us. We broadcast more to the diaspora on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. So I welcome again Ayo Ganyo, and I welcome Tay. I get it. Come and show your face. Everybody.
See me, that's me.
Join.
Oh, yeah, for Puerto. Can you join on
it?
Okay. He's writing the script. But, Deborah, if you have anything to add, but you get back to Ayo. This question will come up again about freedom of artistic expression, which is what the point raised by Holy Affair. Is Ayo can advise, but you also work with some lawyers and co. Ayo, welcome. Let me hear your voice first. Hello, Ayo.
Thank you, Baba J.
Oh, okay. You're welcome to the question.
It's
actually
a pleasure to be here.
Yes, so we have Professor Kolade Odutola, Professor Itayo Alo. We have Anote here. He's actually here in this improvised studio at Terra Culture. Hey, that is the man. the man who left banking to be chasing
you. You know that I'm not a professor. This my brother is always trying to put me up, you know, put me down. I'm not a professor. At least Ganyu knows that. So let's later.
No, you are a professor. You are a prof.
So, welcome, Ayo. We'll get back to you now. But let's quickly.
Thank you for having me, Baba J.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we don't run through the festival program now. At exactly 7 or 7:02, we take you on Ayo. But a question is already waiting for you. That's the question we often asked about the frustration she's facing because of her writing. She has been counseled by Professor Ade Tola and the Italian law. But then you'll be able to advise because you also work with lawyers. In fact, you're almost a lawyer yourself. I don't know why you have not even gone to law school. So, Anoche,
yes,
it's your take now for 10 minutes.
Okay. Thank you so very much for having me on Street of Nigeria Radio.
Yeah.
So, one of the programs, one of the festivals for this year, Hausa International Book and Art Festival. I think this is the maiden edition of that.
It's actually ending today.
Ends today.
But how come that nobody gets to know about that? Until Richard Ali started sharing photo. Nobody, it wasn't announced.
Most of these festival organizers are probably media shy, or they don't even know how to go about the media. So maybe that's what probably accounts for it. And you know, Richard Ali is his media savvy. So he's on
it. He was one sharing.
Maybe he advised them, and probably didn't heed his advice. So,
Okay. Anyway, we're happy that there's Hausa International Book and Art Festival.
You know, we should have
all those
pockets of
those languages, those ethnic things. They should have this.
It's a refreshing addition to the culture programming.
Okay. You know. So let's go on the popular one.
Well, of course, we're here. Lagos International Poetry Festival is still on. It ends tomorrow.
So what's happening tonight? Because there are all people are in the hall.
Yes, there's a performance tonight to Terra Culture here in Victoria Island, Lagos, and most of the major poets will be featured.
You mentioned DK,
Sage Hassan, and of course the organizer himself, Paul Efe.
Paul Efe,
they are the major anchors for tonight.
Okay.
Then from Monday, Akeb Book Festival starts October 25th to
Exactly this Monday.
Yes.
3 days ago.
25th, exactly. Just 3 days away.
Yeah.
And most of the programs will be virtual. And also the lead writer is the Nobel winner for this year.
Okay, Guna.
Professor Abdul Razak Guna.
There must be high demand on his like Shoyinka says, winning Nobel is wahala.
But they definitely got him long before the
one.
That's why they were able to pin him down.
Okay.
If it had happened before then, they would have had
you can't talk to him now. You have to go through his agent.
Oh, you know, he's such a
If a power, Pan-African Writers Association, they want to talk to him. He said they have to go through. They say it's one of us. They say no, sorry, you go to the agent.
Incredible. Then that would, there'll be a little break, about 2-3 days before at X Lagos 6.0
okay.
Starts, which is on November 1st to 4th.
That was about visual arts.
It's a visual arts, yes.
Okay, it's not literature. The other three have been literature.
Yes, first three are about books, you know. Even there's a fiction of the visual arts too, usually in arcade.
Oh, in arcade, yes.
The visual arts segment.
Yes.
But at X is totally
visual arts.
And cover the entire West Africa and even beyond. And it will happen at Federal Palace Hotel this time around.
Okay. Are you aware of that theme? I can't remember the theme now, but we'll get it. Anyway, go ahead.
Then, of course, Africa International Film Festival. Starts on November 7th. That was in Abuja. Usually, Abuja, that's where their home is.
Okay.
The beauty of the little thing is that most of these festivals will be happening virtual. So if you're in any part of the world, you have a chance to join and be part of it. Then, of course, the mother of them all, will start on November 15th, which is Lagos Book and Art Festival. Labaf.
With
our own boss here.
We are doing incest now.
Cronies. No, it's a lot of times, things like this. So, and interestingly, you have a theme that is intriguing. A fork in the road.
Yeah. You want me to explain that?
Yes, please. Kindly,
I'm part of because we've been talking about the general problem that we have in Nigeria, and this problem we're coming. I can't remember all the themes now that we had in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
And it's like we're preparing for where we are now. We're saying that now we've gotten to Orita Meta, where you call the crossroads.
Yes, crossroads.
And in the crossroad, there's a fork, FORK, in the middle of the road. So how are you going to pass? You can't go right, you can't go left, you can't go back. If you're not careful, you can't go forward. If you're not careful, you can't go back. So when they call the sack. And that's what inspired that. So we're looking at all the literatures that have addressed all the crises that we have. Crisis of Chibok, civil war, ethnic war, separatism, all the problems, the books. So we're looking at the formations of Nigeria. What have the literature said about the formation of Nigeria, and why have we found ourselves where we are now? So that's the thing.
Another interesting part of this of Labab this year is that it's dedicated to the mistress of theatre and the screen, Mrs. Taiwa Jai Lyset, which is a very commendable thing. She's 80 this year. She turned 80 this year.
Yeah, in February.
In February, yes. Yeah. And she was celebrated also by Cora, and that was also very remarkable, Then on November 23rd to 28th, there will be the Lagos Fringe Festival.
Which that's is the only theater festival.
Yes, let's go to the theater. Exactly. Let's go to the theater. And I think Nantap held this convention
a
few months ago in Ekiti.
In Ekiti, yes.
But what intrigues me most of the time with Nanta, because I was in their Uyo Festival convention about 3 years ago, there was not even a skit performance on stage.
No performance?
In 3 days.
How do you
not mean? Even a 2-minute skit.
So they were just there to talk?
They were just... It was incredible. Tony Okuyeme... Tony Okuyeme was also there, and I was asking him, how can a theater hold this a body of theater practitioners hold this annual convention that happens once in a year and there's not even a 1 or 2 minutes performance?
This is serious.
I just couldn't understand it.
Okay.
We hope they're listening. We hope they will make changes.
Well, have you, Lagos Fringe is making it. The couple that are on Lagos Fringe used to run the Lagos Theater Festival. The British Council, Kenneth,
exactly.
You said what?
The one that our friends run now.
Bikia.
Bikia is in charge right now. That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Okay.
But lastly, there's the Fashion Art Fusion.
I'm very interested.
Which is on November Second.
You know, people talk about wearable art.
Yes.
But what the fashion designer does is that it brings art. Okay. Not just having art as decor, your dress.
All right.
The art and fashion, they meet in the same core. And you can see how it integrates dance, music. You know, I think this is even bringing a truth from Benue.
Oh, incredible.
But I want to use black and white, you know. They call it the aqua dress or so.
Okay, yes. Yeah. The Steve Mann is here, so we have
checked. Oh, okay. If you call aqua dress,
the
white and black.
Yeah, angry.
How about the red and black?
And that's that's
for the Duma, right? That's for the
Duma. Yeah, that's his Duma one.
That's his Duma, yes.
Okay.
Red and
the team one is
white and black.
Okay. I also know that there will be the Sweetery, Swangi and Sweetery. So, you know, the cat movement.
That's Sweetery
now.
That's what Swangi.
Okay. So, you're going to bring all those on stage. I'm looking forward to it.
So, basically, that is
That's the
rundown of it.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. And you finished right on time because somebody was just alerting me that it's now 7 o'clock. They want to listen to the superstar.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, this is Cultural Train on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, where we bring the diaspora up to speed. And our guest, we've been talking about culture generally and what is going on in the festival city, which is Lagos. Lagos is the center of the world. Forget it. It's not Florida. It's not Canada. It's just Lagos.
Just
I know
Lagos.
They are jealous now.
I know they are jealous now. You now.
But, you know, these are also the movers of culture in Lagos before they left.
And
they're still contributing. That's why
Take it. We give you. Take it.
We know you won't let it slide.
Yeah, take it.
And I'm sure you are the only one who wears agbada in that.
In Florida.
I do have a beard on the neck. They'll be looking at you. Who is that man wearing parachute? Anyway, that's by the way. Then let me work. Oh, she's not joined fully. Women of the Century, Mama Green. We call her the Green Queen.
Green Queen. That's right.
Atishola Alabutu, who has been, you know, this is another one. Art and environment, bringing them together.
She even deserves a session.
That's why she's wearing green. She accuses me of not wearing green all the time. I say, will that just be good? Am I a leaf?
No, I mean, she deserves being featured too on the speech of
Nigeria. Yeah, she is. Rather people are wearing green. Now, Ayo Dele Ganiu, welcome to Spirit of Nigeria Radio. This is Culture Train, where we bring the diaspora up to speed. But you are here because what you're doing is making a lot of impact. Now, Ayo, let me start with the last question that Oluofe asked. Oluofe, you know, the questions have been answered. Before I now fully introduce Ayo, can you just put that question so Ayo put it on the table and then we go to his own program? Just say what you said that the two professors responded to.
Mr. Ayo, I was asking that, do I have to travel out of the country to become a published writer because I write on sex and most Nigerian publishers push my manuscript away because it's not talking about politics or education or COVID or other things that they think is important to the society.
Okay. So Ayo, just hold it because it's part of what you respond to. Let me welcome Digi Toye.
Yes,
I've not seen Digi this year or last year. No. Digi, you're welcome. And then Digi is a lawyer. He's also for artists who are in distress and cool. So I'm happy that we have this digital here at Nayo. Because Digi is also a writer, he's a cartoonist, he's a playwright, he's a poet, and he also knows about this kind of a story that you have just related now of being people who don't want to publish you because they think that sex will not sell. Of course, you hear what the professors have said. So Ayo. Ayo Ganiu, I want us to start by talking for not about you, but let's talk about Unchained Vibes Africa. Why did you decide to start Unchained Vibes Africa? And what does it mean to the vocation of the artist, for instance? Let's start with that.
Thank you very much, Baba J. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me. Unchained, from the name, from the word unchained, we can break the word into two syllables, on and change. when you have chains, we know that that individual is restrained or restricted. In 2019, I spent the larger part of my 2019 in Montreal, in Canada, where I was hosted as a O'Brien Fellow by McGill University. And the Human Rights Center, which hosted me, was a lot of people, unlike the U.S., where Fela is very famous. In Canada, many people still don't know about Fela. So I just mentioned, somebody said, so what is the problem with artists? Why should artists be arrested or something? Then I said, have they heard about Fela Nikulapu? Have they heard about Zombie, a song called Zombie? Have they heard about the Hammy arrangement? I mentioned all popular Hammy songs created by Fela. Many of them did not know. So I gave the story behind it and what Fela went through, and having been arrested like 200 times. Then they said an event must be held to educate people about Fela as a human rights defender. Then we were looking for the hashtag to give the event. I said, okay, our expressions are our vibes as artists. Our vibes need to be free. Free the vibes. Unchained vibes. So when the the hashtag for the event was free the vibe. Free the expression. Let's be free. Let artists be free to create. Let them be free to express themselves.
Okay.
That was the tag of the EDC. So when I returned, because from the U.S., I mean, from Canada, I was also hosted in the U.S., so I spent my 2019 and 2020 in North America. So when I returned, I wanted to found my own organization, and the best thing that came to mind was Unchained Vibes.
Okay.
So that was how the name came about.
Unchained Vibes Africa. Okay.
Yes, now, because the focus is Pan-African, so...
Okay. So, Unchained Vibes Africa is about freedom of artistic expression.
Yes, it's about freedom, but beyond freedom of artistic expression, we are looking at the power of the heart. The heart can impact anything, just anything, the environment, politics, economy, everything. So all the problems that we talk about, we can leverage the power of the heart.
Okay.
To address them, we can produce movies to highlight the issues about corruption in Nigeria. We can produce a song to talk about Boko Haram and all that. So the power of the heart are limitless.
Okay.
So beyond just freedom, we are addressing human rights generally.
Yeah.
Civic education, good governance, advocacy for good governance, and everything that has to do with development.
Okay. Now, Unchained Vibes Africa, freedom of expression. There was a statement that was made earlier on, which has been with us for a long time, but maybe we don't always pay attention. The artist is free to create. Where does the right to create? Because I'm asking this because I know some of the fight that you are currently involved with, how you even save somebody from the gulag, someone who was going to be hanged by Governor Ganduje of Kano. Because the guy was on his way to the gallows until you stepped in. Now, the statement was made by Professor Adeoyetola that, and it's an Idi Amin statement, that you have freedom of speech. But what happened after the speech? I cannot guarantee.
You can't guarantee.
So an artist is free to create, to be... Because that's where your first question was coming from, about... She writes a lot about sex, and people don't want to publish. In fact, I've been on a platform where they told her to shut up. Somebody was bullying her, and I love the way she fought back. And fortunately, there was another lady there who gave it back to the guy who was trying to bully her. Is the freedom to artistic expression, is it limitless? And I would like Deji to also interview God, Deji, the lawyer in our midst. And the professors and everything. Tony Akeshi, welcome. Thank you very much for joining. Tony has to leave the poetry to come and join. So, is the freedom to create, is it limitless? It has no boundary. That you can just create anything you like and then you don't want to be arrested or there's some responsibility. Don't let me push the answer for you.
But under international law, I'm not a lawyer, but but I've come to realize that there are some basic things that every citizen must know. There are basic things, basic rights that every citizen must have knowledge of.
Okay.
The right to artistic freedom. UNESCO defines artistic freedom as the freedom to create, imagine, and express works of art without censorship, without restriction by government, by non-state actors, or other forces. That is how UNESCO defines artistic freedom. UNESCO in 2005 introduced a convention called UNESCO Convention on the Protection and Promotion of the Diversity of Cultural Expressions. Nigeria is a party to that convention. And I'm happy that Deji Toye is with us in the house. He probably will be able to enlighten us more about the legal aspect of it. But I understand that convention is legally binding. It's an instrument that is legally binding on all state parties of UNESCO. So if Nigeria is a part, so internationally, by that definition, artistic freedom by UNESCO, art, the power of art is limitless. But in Nigeria, we have so many laws that are designed to limit artistic freedom. Unfortunately, what Professor Ade Oditola mentioned about Idi Amin's statement, that you have the freedom to express yourself, but the freedom cannot be guaranteed after expression. Unfortunately, artists, our own problem is even beyond that. Like journalists, most times when journalists are arrested or attacked, it's after they have published or they've said what they wanted to say. Artists like filmmakers in Nigeria don't even have that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They have to submit their content for approval.
Wow.
So in most cases, the most censored creators in Nigeria are filmmakers, because there's this National Film and Video Censors Board. Some states have their own censors board to contextualize their situation, quote and unquote. Like Kano Censors Board. What NFVCB, the Nigerian Film and Video Censors Board, approves as a federal agency may be banned in Kano. And in Kano, every artist, whether you are a musician, a filmmaker, you must secure the approval of the censors board before you release any creative content.
After you have been censored federally, you still go back to be censored.
Exactly. That's the situation in some states. So, it's in Nigerian reality, it's even an understatement that you have the freedom to express yourself, but the freedom cannot be guaranteed. The freedom from before you even create, before you express yourself, you're already censored in Nigeria, as a filmmaker, for instance.
Okay. Well, before I go, I would like to take it to Deji, since you have brought him. Now, can you tell us briefly those fights that happened the situation in Kano, those two artists? I just want us to put it on the table so that it becomes part of the discussion. Those two cases that I have to report that Ayo Ganu was part of the Artwatch Africa of Arteria Network. And Deji is one of the founding fathers of Arteria. And Ayo, you worked on the Artwatch Africa. I worked on it. So you can put all this into context. And then, yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Baba G. In 2019, a singer called Muhammad Yusuf his stage name is AGY, released a song. That song was a protest song in response to the decision of the governor of Kano State to split the Kano Emirate Council into four or five divisions, to undermine the influences of the then emir of Kano, Sanusi Lamido Sanusi. So people who cherish traditions, who cherish the heritage, the emirate, the system, the emirate system, protested individually in various contexts. But this artist decided to record a song. He decided to record a song to protest that split. So the song praised the emir, saying that the emir is the only recognized ruler in Kano, that a governor, he did not mention the governor by name. He only mentioned a governor of Kano, that a governor of Kano who has turned blind, who has become a thief, who has...
That's where I'm going.
Who has become a thief and who was collecting dollar caught on tape and, you know, stuff like that. So those were the things he said. You know, he sang the song in Hausa. And he was arrested eventually. He went into hiding when they declared wanted. He went into hiding. At the end of the day, he was caught. An artist was first arrested by mistake. He was arrested by mistake because the voice sounded like him. He was more popular then than AGY. So he was first arrested, detained for 3 weeks without charges. And when they now eventually caught AGY, he was released without any compensation, without apology. Then AGY was arraigned on a Monday. No, he was arrested on a Monday evening, arraigned in court on Tuesday, and sentenced to 2 years imprisonment on Wednesday.
I
see the efficiency of the judiciary.
When it comes to...
Nigerian judiciary is very efficient when it comes to, you know, oppression and impunity. So that's what happened to AGY. He was sentenced to 2 years imprisonment on allegations of insulting the governor with a song, not seeking approval of the censors board, Kano censors board, which I mentioned earlier. He did not obtain their permission to release the song and the video.
Okay.
And then they said those two offenses, the offense of song, not taking permission to record this, to release the song and the video, they were punishable by fines of 50,000 naira each, I guess. But that of insulting the governor, and then eventually I think they amended it to defamation, defamation of character, that was not punishable by any fine, but straight 2 years imprisonment. So he was jailed. And of course, at Watch Africa, when we got to know about it, we took it up. In fact, it was you, Babaji, that drew my attention to the case through Adebantu. We made so many contacts. We tried everything possible, but nothing happened. He was in prison. And, you know, I traveled, went to Canada. And when I got to the U.S. was when I just took advantage of the appeal from the U.N., the U.N. Secretary General, about political prisoners, the COVID-19 global appeal, and all that. And we leverage on that opportunity, mobilize some international support, African Defenders Network, American Bar Association, the Committee for Relevant at CORA, which coordinated it because I was away and CORA was on ground to coordinate the... And we were lucky. We wrote petition to African Commission and, you know, a lot of pressure, intergovernmental communications and some diplomatic effort got him out of the prison after spending 1 year. So that's how that happened. The other artist is an upcoming Islamic singer, but his father is famous as an Islamic singer. So he's just like a beneficiary of the father's fame and talent. So they belong to the Tijaniya movement. Tijaniya is a sect in the Muslim Ummah in Nigeria. It's just like the El Zazaki's group, which belong to Muslim movement of Nigeria. So the Tijaniya movement was founded by Sheikh Ibrahim Niass, originally from Senegal. But when I was growing up, I thought he was Prophet Muhammad. So this guy was arguing in a WhatsApp group. Somebody, because what they believe is that Sheikh Ibrahim Niass is the supreme spiritual leader that you should revere. So in some people's opinion, Sheikh Ibrahim Niass is next to God. In some, you know, to some people. So what this guy, when they were arguing about Prophet Muhammad and Sheikh Niass, this guy now improvised with a song, a popular Hausa song, which places the Prophet as the only symbol of Islam. So what he did with his song was to replace, substitute the name of Prophet Muhammad with Ibrahim Niass, and that was his offense. It was considered blasphemy that he was elevating Sheikh Ibrahim Niass to this the same height with Prophet Muhammad, which is blasphemy. So it's just like Adeboye, members of Redeem, considering equating Adeboye, Pastor Adeboye, to Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So that's the scenario. So when he recorded his song, he also followed up with a voice note that's his own belief that wherever, even in my Medina in Saudi Arabia, that they recognize Sheikh Ibrahim Niass as the only prophet that should be respected and revered also. So the song went viral. The voice note was shared to Isba police and those who enforce Sharia law and all that. And he was arrested. Before he was arrested, his family house was attacked. They demolished the family. In fact, I think they set it ablaze. And then he went into hiding. At the end of the day, he was caught and secretly prosecuted and sentenced to death.
So what's the situation now? Because the other one has been released.
Yeah.
This guy.
For security reasons, there's a limit to what I can say about the situation. But the situation is that the case was appealed and we are waiting. I think the date is December. The date has been fixed for December for hearing on the appeal.
So it's still on death row.
It's still on death row. Mm.
Okay. That second case is not, it's not purely artistic. He was making an argument about religion. Yeah, yes. You know, because I know that you also let the Jalili Atiku's case. Jalili Atiku was our guest last week, so he told us the story again. And you know, there was the conflation of politics and the art. He did an art, but the king saw it as politics, and of course, so we don't have to go over that. Let me, because I want everybody to participate. Let me ask, Dave, if you don't mind, let's. Oliofe is saying that you have to answer a question, but you get to it. Go on.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to quickly clarify that one of the things when we say heart and civic engagement, heart and development, heart and democracy, heart, people use heart to achieve development, to make change possible. So because that tool is very powerful, this guy, that case is essentially a religious issue. But he used music. He used music to communicate his message. And that's where the problem happens. That was why it went viral. And that's why we are involved also.
Okay. Deji, so nice to see you. And you look so relaxed.
Yeah, Thank you very much, Herman. It's something that I ran into a mutual acquaintance today, and we've run into each other in that place like a couple of times. And today, he just has to ask me, look, I don't see you in any event again. It's not. I mean, that place was a shop. I mean, so it's like, it's as if the only thing I do these days is to go shopping. Yeah, but if somebody whose name I will mention to you.
Which is allowed. Don't let those people in Abuja hear that you are shopping, because they don't want them to shop.
Okay. What I even need to bother about is who have transferred my Forex money to in the last so many years.
Have you to shop? Somebody
else. Yes.
Yeah. So you had the two cases. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I didn't, I didn't plan to talk, but I just want to, Ayo, maybe you remember an argument, you know, a debate I had with you when I was, you know, helping prepare a report for your organization, the Danish organization, a few years ago, when I wanted to include the two-faced Dibia matter of him wanting to lead a demonstration and then he was, you know, intimidated out of it. And your argument, which I agree with within the context of what you guys had, you know, had described as, you know, problem with artistic expression, was that no, that was him wanting to do like almost like the same way that the ballet made that distinction. You know, that look, this politics is not artistic. And the argument I made to you at the time was, look, particularly in the context of Africa, what is politics? What is, it's likely that when Tuface Idibia goes to that you know, whichever place they were meeting for that it's likely that he was going to sing. I mean, performance, protests, public engagement in Africa is all fused together, you know, in a way. And I think the argument we always must be making is to make argument that will expand, you know, the space as against, you know, us, you know. But again, not that I'm blaming you, because this was an organization you were working for. You guys already had your framework. I just thought that's something to pay attention to, that we do not allow, that we use these tools to expand the space as against, you know, as against constricting it. What I want to say generally is this, because in Nigeria, you know, if we look at the Nigerian artistic environment compared to a place like South Africa, for example, which is another market I'm fairly familiar with, or even Kenya, what you find out in Nigeria is that because our artistic space, which works for us commercially, tends to be very, very commercial, commercially driven. We are not built around institutions, really. You know, people come up, you know, do their thing, and people need to put food on their table. There tended to be certain things that are missed, that have been missing, you know. But, I mean, we are in luck that in the last few years, you know, we have what Cora was doing with the Matera Network. We have Artwatch Africa. We have what somebody like Ayodele Ganiyu, you know, is doing. These are some of the things that have been missing. Because unless there are platforms that are deliberate and that are specific about actually, about protecting these rights and expanding them, you know, within the context. Because human rights anywhere is a contest, you know. Government, the powerful, they are, you know, almost their objective is to constrict it, you know. For those who are supposed to be beneficiary, you know, it is for, you know, it's never handed over to anybody, you know. So it's for you to expand it, it's for you to enforce it, it's for you to, you know, and all of that. Now, going from that, I would say, you know, there are like two broad areas of, you know, of human rights. There are the political rights that we're all familiar with. So if somebody is arrested, for example, and is put in jail, okay, yeah, we'll say, okay, it's right to freedom, you know, of movement and all of that. If somebody's record is banned, we know about right to freedom of expression, you know, and all of those things. There are also the economic rights, which for the most part, you know, is not enforceable. Now, there's a difference really between enforceability and effectiveness. Now, that you can't enforce those rights, right to work, for example. I understand before I joined that there was a lady who said that her works are not being published and all of that. Now, there's a different bit. Even though you can't take anybody, who are you going to? You're not going to take a publisher to court. You're not going to take, unless you can leak it or other things. So, for example, in some countries in the world where there are strict and very elaborate anti-discrimination rights. So, for example, if you could link it to discrimination, maybe because racial discrimination and sexual orientation and all of that, then you could enforce that. And then you can't even enforce it against private institutions, but you can enforce it against public institutions that either permit it or that benefit those private organizations. So you can use it to go after the funding that those private institutions receive from government, because government cannot be giving funding to institutions that discriminate and things like that. But what I want to say is that those second rights, they are more like, they are not negative, right? They are not like things you want to enforce. They are things you want to use to expand, the scope of, the rights that are available to artists. So right to work, for example, are things that, and because Nigeria is signatory to all of these rights, the political right, the economic right, and a whole number of other, Ayodele spoke about the 2005 right to freedom
UNESCO
of
convention.
UNESCO Convention on Freedom of Expression.
Yes.
You understand?
Diversity
of cultural expression. There is the bit of diversity of cultural expression would basically protect the gentleman who belongs to a minority Muslim group, against the majority and those kind of things. And then you have even African frameworks, on artistic rights, on the right of work of artists and all of that. Now, this second rights for me are rights that you use not as a shield, unlike the popular rights but that you use as a sword. Things that you use to fight, things you use to expand the space, things you use to negotiate budget, things you use to debate budgetary, allocations to the arts, things you use to do things like, when you consider that most artists do not work within formal environments that are covered, for example, by Nigeria's pension fund and the pension scheme and all of that, that you then want to use to create, an alternative pension fund that can benefit people who work in the informal sector, who are mostly artists, Things like if you are a producer of a work, a certain percentage of what you are paying should actually go into some kind of pension fund for the arts, so that over the next 10, 20 years, whoever has worked consistently in the arts in the last 20 years, in spite of not being engaged by government or by a former institution, who have a pool of funding, you understand, that is sitting there just like whoever has worked in a bank or in the civil service and all of that. So all of these things are there. So for me, I think what needs to happen is for people like, Ayodele, what you are already doing. I hate piling up on people. Saying it's just like, when I was active in Cora, there's nothing I hate, especially if I'm Madrid and somebody is saying, well, this thing is not happening, Cora should do it. I hate that kind of, So I also don't want to say I should do it all of, but all of us can get together and do it. What we must first identify all of these rights, what they relate to, what rights we can use it to negotiate and put platforms together that continue to expand the space for all of these things. Again, there are rights that you enforce by going to court, Nigerian court. Okay, let me start an example. There's this this Cybercrime Act, that basically what Cybercrime Act basically did is to what used to happen in Nigeria where things like libel slander, or civic, they are not things that you take people, to court for. I mean, they are not people that you prosecute people,
arrest people
criminally for and arrest them for. There are things you go to court to enforce. And say somebody, wrote something libelous against me, and then you get your damages or whatever in court. What Cybercrime Act did is to then say, if you do any of those acts that ordinarily will not be criminal, then if you do it by use of technology, which is absolutely impossible today not to do without use of technology, then it becomes criminal. You understand? But do you know something that, the ECOWAS court last year has actually declared, was it last year, early last year before, I know it was before the COVID, has actually declared that law, that portion of that law, actually...
Defamation.
Yeah, no, the portion of cybercrime, the cyber stalking, and that actually declared that, you know, it is inconsistent with Nigeria's commitment, you know, to the various international, you know, international conventions on human rights, all of the treaties. So African Charter on Human Rights, United Nations, you know, all of those, Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So it's been declared. But absolutely nobody knows. Artists, you know, journalists are not even paying attention to that. But what's going to happen with this is that as an ECOWAS court, you will need to enforce it. It even needs to be popularized. People are still being arrested and prosecuted under that law today without anybody even paying attention to the fact that, you know, it's been declared by a court that Nigeria has commitment to that, you know, it's against our commitment to human rights. Another thing I want to say is that other than also prosecuting or enforcing these things in court, there are also different frameworks. There is you can enforce through publicity. So, for example, under the universal framework or the universal declaration on human rights and those universal framework, there is this biannual, is it biannual now? I've forgotten the periodicity. A framework that every country is supposed to do where within that period, the government or the institutions that are responsible for enforcement of human rights, including also, you know, the private sector, the social sector, you know, are supposed to actually report. And when the country reports, there will be engagement process. So where if Nigeria, for example, say, oh, we are the best in human rights, we did this, they are supposed to say, look, these are the things within this period that we've used in expanding the human rights. So those second rights that I'm talking about, institutions that you are meant to set up to enhance the work of artists, of the private citizens and all of that, what have you done in the last 12 years? And then how have you reduced incidents of violation of human rights, even in those negative rights? Now, when you do that presentation, then a CORA, a NANTAP, Artwatch Africa and all of that, there's a process for engaging it. Almost like an audit process or in sustainability reporting, what you call, you know, basically an assessment where people are now supposed to look at it. So, you know, and now your deal is now meant to say, look at what is happening in Kano. You understand? Look at what's happening in this. And then, so, and meanwhile, Nigeria, one thing I found out about Nigeria is that not just in the area of human rights, even in commercial, Nigeria, one of the things we like is that because Nigeria, private citizens in Nigeria don't pay attention to this thing. Nigeria is very fastidious about these things. If they tell you that there are five countries that do this thing regularly, you can be sure that Nigeria is one of them. You know? And Nigeria will file all of these reports, you know, quietly, and then it goes into the, and you can, these things are public. You can, you know, they are public things that you can check, you know.
Yes.
But nobody has engaged them, you know. You know, the kind of engagement that is then meant to be rigorous, that's meant to query what the government has put forward, hasn't happened. Now, if Nigeria is very, you know, fastidious about these things and they're interested, what that means is that you can use the tool of publicity, of public opinion, to put pressure on government to do certain things. Because the reason why we are doing that is that we want to present ourselves as, as that we are not a rogue nation, that we are, you know, good, you know, international citizens who respect all of this and all of that. You understand? Now, part of what we can then use to do is to engage those processes and all of that. So, but unless there are people thinking like this and putting all of these things together, you know, it may be difficult to, you know, so we probably, to just finalize, we probably still need to go to things like CORNA, you know, which... go back to things like CORNA. Those are things that CORNA was, you know, meant to do. You know, I'm happy that Mr. Dr. Dutola is here. Those are things that Ayodele is doing today. But I think what CORNA was meant to do was to like be a platform for those kind of things. Yeah, everybody can go and run their businesses and individual, you know. But if nobody is looking at, is watching for us in this, nobody is going to. So that's basically the. The basic rambling that I want to.
This one I rambling. you really help us to really frame the thing, because IO is not just running this organization; it's also setting up programs. For instance, there's the Unchained Vibes Africa concert. I mean, is it called concert? One of them is on the
Freedom Vibe series.
series. Yes, yeah. But they are more like concert because there will be discussion, yes. There will be music.
Performances. Yeah.
Yeah. In view of what they just said, because I also want Adeodutola and Eitayo and any other person to contribute. In view of what they just said, you're also going to have performances. That means artists are going to come on your platform. So it gives a second level of engagement because you are not just defending their rights or advocating for them. You are also going to be having them on your stage. So what if Idris Abdulkarim, who I know is your ambassador, if he comes on stage and he has to say things, or Anoli Ofe comes with the question of sex on your stage and they say that it's against the law. So how do you relate to all of this? I don't know if you get the question I'm trying to frame.
I'm not quite sure if I get the question, but I want to quickly respond to all your first question.
Okay.
Yes. My part of my response has been answered by DG. Okay. For private businesses, I want to believe that most publishing firms are private businesses. It's a lot difficult to take them up on whether cultural policy front or legal front, unless a case of discrimination is established. But I will give an example. It's easy for government or establishment or international establishment to achieve. In 2012, when we were to travel to Germany on a tour of Berlin Carnival and other festivals in Germany. Then I founded Yoruba Drum Festival. It was still at its infant stage. And I had 13 drummers to travel with me. And the embassy said, no, they were not going to give them a visa. Then I said, then I had no business going to Germany for this tour if you are refusing these guys visa. They said, that's all, there's nothing. Then I went back home. I thought about it. I thought about this UNESCO convention. Germany is a party to that convention. Nigeria is a party to that convention. And one of the core benefits of artists is mobility.
Yes.
Preferential treatment for artists when it comes to mobility, because cultural goods are not like bread and butter or yam that you can treat as commodities. Cultural goods are not commodities. They are values. They have their own, they carry worldviews, they carry beliefs. So they cannot be treated the same way. That's what the convention said. As such, artists should be given preferential treatment when it comes to mobility. So visas, there's a commitment from all parties to the convention that visas, there will be preferential treatment for artists when it comes to mobility. So visa denial should be illegal as far as that convention is concerned. So I went back to the embassy and I wrote them like a petition. If you can call it blackmail, that this, and I quoted all those articles, and I wrote them, and they invited me to sign a personal guarantee that these guys will come back to Nigeria. I protested it, but I signed because I was desperate to get those guys to Germany. What happened in Germany is a story for another day, because one of them actually ran away. But I achieved the listing. I asserted my rights as an artist and the rights of those other guys. But this is a diplomatic establishment that respects an international treaty. We have that problem with Nigeria. Many agencies don't respect these things. In fact, many agencies are not aware of this convention. And Nigeria files reports. So, Deji, I'm also one of those guilty of taking on those critical review and engaging them, challenging their reports. But it's because my plate is full. I've been involved in too many things. I think I'm a bit overstretched when it comes to fighting on this front. But we just have to do more. And that's one of the things that this platform will do. So my advice to Oriofe is that sex, to talk about sex, is part of the fundamental rights that Nigeria has committed to under that UNESCO convention. It's one of the fundamental rights. So if there are publishing organizations that may be linked to the Nigerian state, there's a grant to take them on. Under that UNESCO convention, there's this practice of naming and shaming. So one of those processes that Deji mentioned, we can actually write and get signatures. One of the things we did with the artists in Kano was to get signatures from Soyinka, Wole Soyinka, which Oga German was very, very instrumental to. We got people like Femi Kuti, Fowles, and so many artists who have names. And we filed those petitions to the African Commission. The same can be done with the UNESCO processes, those instruments, peer review instruments, and periodic review processes. UNESCO is very slow, but the naming and shaming works very well. Nigeria wants to be seen in good light internationally. They don't want to be seen as a bad country. They don't want to be seen as irresponsible. They file their reports. And one of those things that work is if we challenge them on the international front on some of those instruments that they've committed to.
So Unchained Vibes Africa will be doing that. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Unchained Vibes Africa will be facilitating it, coordinating it. And we have a lot of partners. We have partners like African Defenders Network who actually championed the process of what we did to get AGY out of prison. And we have other organizations too who don't want to be publicly mentioned on you, who work on the ground to get things done.
Okay. I have the second strand of my question, which you undo in 4 minutes, because I want to give the last 10 minutes to those who want to speak because we close at 8. The second strand of my question is that you are standing now as you are a platform, or you are an organization that want to fight for the rights of the artists.
Yes.
Okay. I'm
as
not
a
saying
primary that, responsibility.
As a primary responsibility. I'm not saying, so what happened if on the stage of Unchained Vibes Africa series, what I call the concert, and Idris Abdulkareem comes and sang Nigeria Jaga Jaga or something even worse than that, call names, or Oriofe comes on your stage and want to talk about sex? Because she wrote about the place where she went to, and she was performing, and people were shocked, and some people were feeling uncomfortable, and all of that. So what happened? In this case, you are both an organization fighting for the rights of the artist, but your state is also up. So what do you do?
Yeah, it's a very tricky issue. Tricky in the sense that the program has objectives and focus. And that's one of the things that Deji mentioned earlier, like Free Meals in Denmark, which is an international organization I worked for, has a defined scope of work, the way they want to work. They don't want to take on the work of journalists. They don't want to take up the work of media organizations or spaces that others have occupied that are specialists in. They want to take up the space of artistic expression. So if an artist, like what happened to Chiwetelu Hagu in Biafra, wearing the Biafra flag, it's not my business because it was a different case. If he wore that symbol while filming for the purpose of a production and he was arrested, I would have been in Abuja with DSS to fight DSS. So Unchained Vibes has its scope of work, the way we want to work, what we want to focus on, artistic expressions, artistic freedom. So if Oriofe comes on stage and talks about sex, it's within the scope of what we want to talk about. If, as long as it is about fictional writings, for instance, as long as it's about our writings. Also, in the area of writing, we don't just cover every writing, because if what you have, if your work is not poetry, is not a fictional content, then it may,
no drama, poetry,
it may be out of artistic expression. It may be just scholarly works or academic stuff that is outside the scope of what our focus is. So if an Idris, in fact, that privately, we've already had some issues regarding that.
Okay.
if an Idris, since Jaga Jaga, is within his rights, the freedom of opinion, that's his opinion about Nigeria. But what I can only do is to advise him that, well, the focus of this thing is we are engaging two communities, the Nigerians and the international community. So when we talk about, when I sing Jaga Jaga, I want to do a little intro that this is a protest song to draw the attention of the authorities to their failings, not to paint my country in bad light, not to please my foreign, like the blackmail people, the way they blackmail us that we are American agents, we work for, is it to destroy Nigeria. That's what Lai Mohammed like us. We are employed by foreign entities to destroy Nigeria, paint Nigeria in black, this thing, to please them. So, and of course, ignorant people buy into all these things. So one of the ways, one of the opportunities for an Idris Abdulkarim is to also educate, even by singing the Jaga Jaga, to also sensitize people about why that song is still relevant almost after 20 years.
Mm. Okay, I think Oriofe now has a question for you.
Yes, sir. So The thing is, I don't write fictions. I write about my personal sexual exploits. And so this is where I started having problems. So if I date a normal guy that does not have name, nobody knows him and all that, and then I write about it, nobody chases me around and say, oh, why did you do this? But then if I date like a politician or I fuck someone who's big in the industry and I write about it, you know, they can come after me and say, oh, I did this, I did that. How do I fight that at that time? Because I don't write fictions. I write about my personal sexual experience. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's in the broader context of freedom of expression. Unchained Vibes focuses on artistic expression. You know, for instance, half of a Yolo song written by Chimamanda was adapted as a film by B. Ibandele. And it was banned. No, it was restricted. They had to take some scenes off that film. Those are the kinds of things that are primary responsibility, that are my own primary responsibility as an artistic freedom defender.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Think it threw Mr. Ganu a little. I think he was a little rattled. I'm not sure. I'm just trying to, because I saw that. I'm not sure, but you know, I'm very observant. And I know that people who are at home and listening could not have seen that expression. But the thing came like a ton of bricks. And
not
the man had
all.
To sit up right.
Not at all. Not
so
at all.
So that's my own imagination.
Not at all. That was why I clarified the point. He has every right to talk about a sexual exploits.
Okay.
There are differences between rights and morality.
Okay.
And morality is also subjective. What is moral in Zulu culture when they, you know, they expose their breasts may be immoral somewhere else. So it's very subjective. But what my response was that is a right. She can do it, but not on my platform, because my platform is designed for artistic.
But Mr. Ganu, does the change of form, commuting it to literature, in which case the experience becomes a literary text, does that not now take it from personal experience to the realm of artistic expression? Just a clarification. I mean, your answers are very concise, and I thank you for that. But again, does that switch, that change in form, does that not bring it into your realm?
It does. It does. Once it is literary work, then it's my space. It's my responsibility to defend.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Spirit of Nigeria Radio, Culture Train on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, where we bring the diaspora up to speed. We have less than 5 minutes, unfortunately, and this question is just getting hot. I saw that Tony was trying to say something, but then he's also in the festival concert, so I'm not sure that he is able to speak now. Any other contribution before I throw the last question to Ayo to now invite us formally to? Oh, yeah, go on.
I just posted something online, which is dated October 23, 2014, and it was 2014, okay. And it speaks to what Lawyer Dejitoye was talking about, and it does. A line of it says, "So many changes happen in Nigeria, so quietly. Quietly, one may just miss the changes." People like Deji, and I was talking 7 years. I mean, how many years ago was that? 7 years ago.
2047. Yes.
Yes. People like Deji have devoted their time and talent on the subject of corporate governance and all that goes with it. And you can read the rest yourself. But it just goes to show that was exactly what he was saying. That, you know, so many things happen. You're sure that Nigerians are keeping pace and they're keeping watch. And I'm so impressed by the work of Mr. Ganil as well, making sure that they're keeping tab, they're watching. I know that all of this would also probably be a spin-off of the Africa Watch that Arterial Network used to do. And why not? Once there are results to show, it always emboldens the organization. And I hope that the young man that has been saved should also be debriefed of the processes that led and all the people that also assisted to make sure that it was let out. Because there's nothing as good as having an embodied testimony, somebody who agrees to speak on behalf to say, look, this disease, when it happened to me, I used the Ganil medicine and it worked. So that's what I would say.
Yeah, just to respond to that, Prof, he actually recorded a song.
You have 2 minutes. Okay.
He actually recorded a song, not professionally recorded, just from his mobile phone to say a word of appreciation to everybody that supported him. And he mentioned, you know, the organizations, Professor Soyinka, Femi Kuti, Fowles, and the German Anipulapos of this world, Cora, and everybody. That song is available. I can share with you.
Thank you very much.
We would like to have it. So, Ayo, now, because we have just 2 minutes, what are you inviting us to? So what's the next program for Unchained Vibe? Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to explore everything. Okay. Oh, you are muted.
Thank you very much. On Saturday, October 30, 2021, we are launching our flagship event called Freedom Vibes. The objective of this gathering is to bring together the artistic community and the CSOs, because there's a gap. We don't really work together. And recent experiences from some of the things I narrated revealed that we need to work more. Even the NSAS revealed that opportunity, that when we work more, we achieve more. Artists actually made the NSAS successful, at least for the peaceful period of 2 weeks, because of the artistic, the power of the heart. Music on Lekki Toll Gate, a massive stage erected, DJs, performers, keeping people for 2 weeks. So that is the key objective of Freedom Vibes. We want to sensitize people to be aware of what is happening around the country, not only in the north, even in Lagos and other parts of Nigeria. Artistic expression is being stifled. So we want to share all the information that we have at our disposal, bring people together, and have one voice, because we also realize the fact that we cannot make these changes happen without engaging these people that hold the power. What? Otherwise, we are just wasting our time talk, and talk is cheap. So we feel that since we have this UNESCO convention and all those international human rights instruments that Nigeria is a party to, why don't we come together as CSOs, the artistic community, and engage them and start? We know that the result won't come, overnight, but we can begin to get improvement. For instance, a bill is in the National Assembly.
Before you continue, let me just chat with the person in the studio so that I can. They just reminded me to say that we're on Spirit of Nigeria Radio. This is Culture Train on Spirit of Nigeria Radio, where we bring the diaspora up to speed. And everybody who has been here has made very valid contribution. But the discussion will continue. So you have to change us to another channel. So, Dayo, you can do your stuff while we continue here. So, Ayo, continue, please.
Spirit of Nigeria Radio, bringing Nigerians in diaspora up to speed.